Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio 910 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. 11 o'clock hour, church hour. Church of football, 1 hour down and an hour and a half to go on this particular program, taking it to 12:30. Doubleheader of the NFL today. No Falcons, obviously, with Monday Night Football tomorrow night. We have the Swampers and Cowboys at one. I know. Go Cowboys, go Cowboys. Oh, God, whatever. Swampers and Cowboys at one, followed by the Bengals and the Chiefs. And so, another look at the next team that the Falcons will play in Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. And, of course, our coverage of the Falcons tomorrow night, Monday night, begins. Going to be an interesting day tomorrow because Duke Sobel is going to have a 2 to 4 show, only 2 hours of the fellas from 2 to 4. Then Joe Patrick and I with the Wade Ford tailgate show at 4, the network pregame at 6 with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson, and the call of the game, West Durham, Dave Archer at 8 tomorrow night, Falcons and the Eagles live from Philadelphia. And big question that we're asking at 404-726-0929, is tomorrow night's Monday night game critical for the Atlanta Falcons? And is it critical to win, or is it critical to play better? I think we've had some really interesting responses. I think we all understand that it's both, but, you know, is it... Which is kind of like more? Would you like to, sort of like Georgia did, win ugly and say, okay, that's good, I'm good with that? Or is it enough to win ugly? Maybe that's a better way to put it. I mean, I know we all want to win the game. Is it enough to go on the road to Philadelphia and win ugly? Some people may say yes, because it's so important to win the game. It's a conference game. It's a primetime game. All those things. You got to get on the W's. You don't want to go to 0-3, you know, or at least 0-2 with the Chiefs coming in. So, is it important to go there, or do you have to go there and play good so that we all have kind of confidence that this is going to work the way that we thought it was going to work offensively at the beginning of the year and did not work offensively in the first game because it was a borderline disaster in the first game? 404-726-0929. Love to hear from you if you want to jump into the program. Georgia fans, are you concerned at all? Well, let's talk about winning ugly. Is that a good thing for you? You win ugly, you go on the road. Again, the stat is that in the last 5 years, Georgia has gone on the road and been held under 20 points 3 times. Those 3 times they were held under 20 points, 14 at Kentucky in the COVID year, 16 at Kentucky in 2022, and now 13 at Kentucky. And Georgia won all three. So... now we have injuries. Yes, Tate Ratledge is going to be a big concern. I get that. You've got games on the road coming up at Ole Miss, at Alabama, at Texas. Arch Manning yesterday came in off the bench after Quinn Ewers got dinged up. Don't know how bad he's hurt yet. And Arch Manning lit it up. You know, he's going to be a special cat. He just is. And so we can all see that. Quinn Ewers is really, really good. And Arch Manning, Arch Manning's that guy too. And then the Braves last night, you may have missed it, I don't know. I mean, because so much going on in college football. And you can wander in on anything in college football you want. Great win by Georgia State, great win by Georgia Tech. Tennessee wins, I think it was 173-0. Alabama, you know, had the big victory at Wisconsin where they were pounding on the Badgers and whatnot. You want to jump in here on your team, you can, on the race in the SEC. Florida State's 0-3. Here's another stat. Florida State, 0-3. First team ever in the history of the AP poll. And the AP poll started in 1936. So what are we talking about? It'll be 88 years, if my math is correct. First time ever in the history of the AP poll that a preseason top 10 team lost its first three games all to unranked opponents. And then Florida got worked by A&M over in Gainesville. And it's like, man, that Florida State game in November, anybody can show up? Are the coaches going to be there? That's a better question. Back to the Braves. Sorta Braves win again. They pounded on the Dodgers last night. They won the first two games. They won them by a combined 16-3. Chris Sale was magnificent. If there was any doubt that he was going to lock up the Cy Young, he locked it up. Okay, the Braves are just flying along. Suddenly, they're tied with the Mets. They're a game behind Arizona, 2.5 back of San Diego, 14 games to go. 3 of the 4 will make the wild card. If they can win again, hey, listen, the Braves are making some noise right now. And let's see if they can make the playoffs, and the town will go nutty if they do. I think that this will be a lot of fun just to watch these sort of Braves do that. All right, your calls here. You can react to college football, react to the NFL. You can react to the Braves. And I guess if you call me up randomly and bag on me because I don't like your football team, I guess you can do that too. James is on with John. Hey, James.
John, I love the show here. I just want to say I love New Orleans, but I hate the Swampers. I hate Carolina, and I hate the Bucks. And let's get this all straight here. But the cities are totally different. One of your opinions, which one do you hate the most out of the three? And also, in regards to how critical the Bronx game is, it's important to win the game, but it's critical that we look good on all three faces of the ball. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, James, let's talk about that because I really want to explore it. I'll just answer the other question real quick. I don't hate the kitty cats. I don't. They were annoying when they came in with the whole drum, you know, when they had the baseball bat when they were 15-0 and we beat them with Cam. I don't hate the Bucks. They were annoying with Brady. I don't really hate them. Not. I have a special place in my hatred world. I only literally hate one team in one sport in anything. And that is, I cannot stand the Swampers. All right, so what? I got a rivalry with them. That's just, and I'm going to forever have a rivalry with them. That's good. It's fun for me. So, but as to the question about tomorrow night, if they were to win a really ugly game, let's say they would, that Philadelphia put the ball on the turf 5 times, and we got a bunch of turnovers and ran the ball, and we being the Falcons, like I have a mouse in my pocket. But James, let's say the Falcons won the game like 10-7. You know, I mean, would you be and had again like had like 240 yards in offense and Kirk Cousins looked terrible and got sacked a whole bunch of times? Would you be happy about that or would you be going, ugh?
I would be concerned. I would be definitely concerned going throughout the season because the trajectory of our offense is supposed to be a lot better than it was last year, and I would not be happy with like a 10-7 game. We need to put up some points, and we need to block better on the offensive line. It just was atrocious last week against Pittsburgh, and it was very concerning because I thought that was one of our strengths. And I just think that we definitely need a pass protect better. And we need to get Kirk Cousins out of the pistol, first of all. That's just not how it should be working.
All right, so let's take that one at a time. All right, let's take that because you're bringing up really good points here. I think your use of the word, James, trajectory is a really good one. Okay, I wish I would have used that as a word. It's a really good word. It's actually the correct word. 96% out of the pistol and shotgun, and they didn't run play action on any of it, and he's a play action quarterback, only 4% under center here, which led all of us to saying, well, he's not 100%. He may be healthy, he's not 100% because he can't, you know, do a quick drop back and plant. And so the Falcons were very concerned to be able to get out video of Kirk Cousins, you know, dropping back and planting this week here. You know, some of that fell on Zach Robinson. Some of it fell on Kirk Cousins. There was no sync to the offense here. 100% correct here. As to the offensive line, you know, everybody's beating up Caleb McGarry, and I understand that. But there were a couple of, all 22s. T.J. Watt lined up. He literally was out halfway between the edge and the cornerback. He's not just wide 9. He's, like, way wide 9. I mean, McGarry is 20 feet away from him. He's so far away. And he just sprints, you know, like a blitz almost. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying that they exploited it, and then the Falcons didn't counter it. And the Falcons' offensive line, by the way, in my opinion, James, ran the ball effectively when they ran the ball, and they only gave it to Tyler Allgeier 3 times. Maybe you just start pounding the right. They should have out Arthur Smith, don't you think? Oh, I think they should have out Eric. I think they should have just looked across the way and say, "Okay, we're gonna Arthur Smith you, Arthur Smith," and then just pound the rock. And they didn't. And I didn't quite understand it, Because if they had, they could have put Cousins under center. And by the way, run some play action. I'm like,
well, okay. We got to see if he can execute play action. You heard Raheem Morris all week saying that they've got to execute better. We hope that he is healthy enough to execute that exact play. But it's over with now. We got, you know, tomorrow, Monday night's the only thing we need to focus on. Last week's history. We got, like you said, we got to play better. Got to play better.
Yep. And the questions, you know, the questions about them, you know, and the preseason and, you know, not playing in the preseason. I got to tell you, I'm not sure I'm there with that. We don't have to get into it. I'm telling you, I think what happened last week was a case where they were trying to protect a quarterback who was not 100%. And that was the result. If Kirk Cousins had been 100%, I don't think we would have been talking about this. For Kirk Cousins had been 100%, really 100%, Falcons win the game. Let's go to EL. EL, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I have a question. If in preseason, let's say if you're playing your second team and I'm playing my second team, is that more of a coaching when it comes down to winning?
Yeah, I don't know. To me, preseason doesn't matter that much. So you're asking the wrong guy. I mean, you asked about what happened last week. I don't think it had anything to do with preseason snaps. I think it had, I just said it. I think it had everything to do with the fact that the quarterback is not 100%.
Right, yes, it does. But at the same time, if you're showing me in preseason that you don't have the ability to win a game, that's going to carry over in the regular season. And then, yes, I'm from Michigan. I've seen Kirk Cousins play ever since he was at Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
So let me go to this, EL.
You remember, EL, do you remember the year the Lions went 0-16?
Yes.
Do you know what their record was in preseason that year? They were 4-0. Do you know that?
Okay.
I just don't think there's
a correlation. And it could have been the fact that, like I say, I'm quite sure they probably still had the same offensive coordinator. Maybe the play calling was different or circumstances. But to me, I think that's an indication as to your coaching ability. And then,
I think you're right. But let's go to that part here. This is why, okay, I don't really want to rehash here. I want to look forward.
Correct.
I think we can all agree, EL, that they tried to scheme around a not 100% Kirk Cousins, and it didn't work.
Correct.
And so what about tomorrow night? I mean, I guess we'll find out here.
Actually, believe it or not, tomorrow night, I actually see them beating Philly simply because of the style of football that Philly plays and so forth. But they play, but I still believe that Kirk Cousins, he's going to be okay, but at the present point, he's not physically healthy and mentally. That affects his ability to play also, because he have always won the kind of quarterback. You put a good hit on him, and that's going to affect his ability to play.
Yeah, I mean, and so, you know, maybe Michael Penix would have made a better choice to start the first game if he wasn't 100%, and instead of trying to scheme around, you know, and shove Kirk Cousins in there, they say, okay, Cousins, and then Cousins comes in week three against Kansas City and takes over the job. But I wonder if they were afraid that they would put Penix in, he'd win the game against Pittsburgh, he'd win the game against Philadelphia, there would be a clamor to not play Kirk Cousins at all because Penix is playing so well. And there's, you know, I don't know what you go through, EL, when you're sitting in an
Correct.
Office talking about all of these, you know, what ifs this, what if that, you know, and isn't so. I think they just said, look, the guy's a proven winner, and Zach Robinson said we can scheme around this by putting him in the pistol and the shotgun, and it didn't work. And what got me really upset about it was obviously not working at halftime, and they stayed with it. They should have changed, not quarterbacks, they should have changed tactics, and they didn't. If I was Raheem, I would have said, pound out Arthur Smith, run the football, and let's get Tyler Allgeier 3 carries, stop it.
Absolutely. I think they should, because I think Allgeier is more of an inside runner. He's more of a bruiser. Now, Bijan, he's more of a scat back. He can get to the outside. Even though he has the size to run inside, he prefer to go outside. So that being
he's a space guy. You want him in space, though, because you put him in space one-on-one, he's going to make a man miss, and it's a big play.
If he gets to the secondary, if he gets through that line of scrimmage.
So, we'll see. I appreciate it, EL. Thanks much. 404-726-0929. We're talking about the Falcons tomorrow night. Is it a critical game? If they were to win ugly like Georgia did last night, would you say, okay, good? Or would you say, yeah, okay, this is still... Because I'd be like, yeah, okay, this still is... You got to prove to me that Kirk Cousins is actually able to be 100%. And what about Georgia's ugly win last night? How do you fall if you're a Georgia fan? Hey, listen, ugly, it's always ugly in Kentucky for some odd reason, and we won, and we just won an ugly game. National champions have to win ugly games. Or are you going, uh-oh, we got Ratledge injured. Yeah, I'm not sure about this. And the Sorta Braves making a run. Can they take three in a row from the Dodgers? Are you on board, back on the bandwagon? All ahead, 404-726-0929 with John Fricke on Sports Radio 920.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the Northern Kia Studios on an NFL Sunday, John Fricke with you at 404-726-0929. We have a doubleheader for you today. Swampers and Cowboys at 1 o'clock, and then the Bengals and Chiefs. A couple of teams, obviously, that the Falcons are going to be facing here in the next couple of weeks here, the Chiefs and the Swampers. And we had that Swamper call in earlier, Eric, and he said, you know, put some respect on my name, right? That dude, you know? Squid was listening, and then Squid fired me a text, and he's right. And Squid says, tell Roland, when that team shows us no respect, when they openly mock us during the games we play there, we don't have to show that team respect. And he's right. He reminded me of that.
Amen.
The team, yep. The Saints, openly mocked the Falcons. Not the fans, the team. They put a Saints band on the field, did 28-3. They had 28-3 memes going out through their stadium that the Saints put in their stadium. The Swampers put them up. The team put them up. We owe them no respect. So, no, I do not have to respect your team. He's right. 404-726-0929. You know, there's so much going on. Eric, I'll just ask you, because I know I got to get to a couple of calls here. Like, on the list of things that I can't get to right now, here's a question. Should Tua Tagovailoa shut it down and stop playing football?
Yes, he should. His life is more important.
I totally agree. Now, it's $50 million at the best for the Dolphins. That's the best. And... yeah, the doctor says, yes, he could play, and then the Dolphins cut him, and they owe him $50 million.
I think he should call Steve Young, another lefty quarterback just like himself that had a lot of concussion issues, and ask him what he's going through, because Steve Young, even though he doesn't publicize it, I know some inside stories he's going through.
We all know. Does he have to make that call? I mean, you may know that I was pretty good friends with Junior Seau and his wife and his family, extended family. Hung around
your
Junior
times
a
in San
lot.
Diego, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And played a lot of golf with Junior. He and I were close friends. He's the only guy in the world I've ever allowed to call me Johnny.
Junior, I can't call you. I can't do it. No.
No. Okay. You cannot. No. One person was allowed to call me Johnny. Junior Seau.
All right.
Junior and I became friends, and you know, I hung out at his restaurant a lot, and loved Gina. Loved the kids. His family, just so much fun to be around, and such a wonderful man. And the only guy I ever called me. That day, I was working at CNN that day when that news broke my heart.
He took his life? Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
But yeah,
let's Tua, go to, Tua, anyway. I don't want to digress this show here. The answer to the Tua thing is yes. You know, and so just call Junior's family because there's the Samoa connection. Let's go to Brandon here. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
All right, I was calling because with that Tua, I mean, not the Tua situation, but the Kirk Cousins situation, I think the Falcons ran into a big trouble when they decided not to play him week three, at least for like a series or two to kind of let that offense see his movement in the pocket. I think his movement in the pocket is what's really killing us, and that line is used to deal working with a quarterback that's rolling out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they did 2,000 snaps in practice. I think they had a pretty good idea. Right?
Right. I mean, I understand in practice they were able to do that, but with, like, a J.J. Watt coming off the edge that hard, Kirk Cousins should have known to be able to slide into that B-gap that was opening up for him.
No, in my world, the Falcons should have known better than to just start running the ball to the left.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Run behind Jake Matthews and Matthew Bergeron and plow the road and run away from T.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. They didn't. They put their quarterback back in a shotgun, the quarterback that they knew was limited to begin with, even 100% healthy before the Achilles injury, and put him back there as a statue. And let, as what did Pittsburgh countered by putting T.J. Watt in a super wide nine? I mean, again, it was. I think some fans think that, you know, there were occasions where he lined up over Caleb McGarry, but on a lot of occasions he lined up halfway to the cornerback and just took off like a safety blitz almost.
And went straight at him.
Right. And you know the funny thing is, do you know how many sacks T.J. Watt had in that game? He had one.
Or he might have had two. He had that strip sack that got called back.
Well, okay, that's fair enough. And that was a time that he was actually on with kind of like, you know, hand in the ground, dirt, hand in the dirt kind of thing. And by the way, he was onside. I admit that.
Yeah.
Refs got that one wrong.
He timed it perfectly.
Yep. No.
Yeah, that was rough to watch.
He dominated the game, and they didn't counter him. And so this was – I wonder how much of it, I said right after the game, how much of this was Zach Robinson as a – and Zach Robinson may come out to be, you know, Kyle Shanahan, great, you know, one of the great offensive coordinators ever, just having his first game and making some mistakes. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it seems to me you have to
–
yeah, you know, right? You have to call a better game than that, and hopefully they will call a better game tomorrow night. Thanks, Brandon. I do appreciate it. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Robert, who joins us here. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm gonna make this real quick because it irritates me. His rookie season, Tyler Allgeier showed that he was probably one of the best backs, was going to be one of the best backs in the NFL. He went for over 1,000 all-purpose yards. And then we quit using him because we made the dumbest draft pick I have ever seen in Bijan Robinson. And I don't care how much talent I believe he has, all the things that I believe he can do on the football field, which is a lot. But he's not the best back.
I don't
want to
go over this. I think we've been down this road here. It's sort of like arguing about the Penix thing. I really want to focus, if I can, Robert, on tomorrow night's game and where we're at.
I just want to see Tyler run the ball more. Okay, I was at the racetrack Sunday with my girl.
Let's talk about that because you are correct. I don't know why Zach Robinson didn't use Tyler Allgeier more. As a matter of fact, I think given the offense, you can make a case and an argument to put Tyler and Bijan on the field at the same time.
Absolutely.
And to use
no doubt about it.
Them in different ways. Because if you put Bijan, let's say you put Bijan
the swing passes.
Right. Well, no, but you put Bijan to the left in the slot, okay? Right? And you put him in motion, and now if you're Kirk Cousins, you've got Bijan in motion going to your right. You got Tyler Allgeier behind you. If you're the defense, are you sliding that linebacker? Are you running with Bijan to go out into the flat here? Are you know flipping it to him on a quick jet sweep? Or what are you doing there? And how do you account for him? And then, oh, by the way, we'll fake that and hand it to Tyler and pop him off that left side of the line. I mean, there are things you could do.
Exactly.
Here. I mean, we all play offensive coordinator.
8 out of 10
radio,
times,
right?
That linebacker is going to follow Bijan, and that
of course
Tyler
he has
wide,
to
open.
Because he has to. He has to spy him. So you got to you have to. So you have to spy him. So why not do that?
I'll leave you with this. the Swampers suck, and so does their whole town. Okay, you were being too nice earlier. But anyway, I hope you guys have a good day. And
I got to say the food's pretty good. I ain't going to lie. I mean, the food's pretty good. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm just not going to lie about this. I mean, I've had two or three of the best meals of my entire life there. Okay. I've had two or three of the best. I had a dish one night. I don't even know what it's called. Okay? So, Eric, this is in the 80s. And I think I was there for an NCAA convention in the late 80s. And I don't remember the restaurant we went to. Moran's, maybe? It was like, pasta with, oysters, fried oysters and prawns that were just perfectly done. And sort of like a Cajun version of cioppino, I think, for lack of a better term, for those of you who know what cioppino is. Italian dish with seafood and pasta. And there's not a real heavy sauce, a real light sauce, like a thin sauce, not a Creole heavy sauce, a thin sauce. That was, dude, I could have eaten. I'm like, okay, I'm glad I only had that much because I could eat like 20 plates of that.
This was in the 80s?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, man.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I've had several. My first introduction to New Orleans wasn't for the Saints or anything professional. It was when I was covering college sports on the HBCU level. I would go down to Dillard University and Xavier University. Shout out to our old friend Tanisha Batiste. And I would cover Morehouse when they played those schools in basketball. And then we would go out and enjoy things. And I learned about some of the smaller places in and around New Orleans and Metairie and places like that. And just we would go every year in Morehouse basketball. Would go and make that stop in New Orleans and play both those two HBCUs and had great time. And we did that for about 10 straight years when I was covering Morehouse.
Yeah, if you can stomach going into the swamp, there's some like local joints that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's difficult because when you walk into them, they're like, casual, hey, welcome. And you're like, okay, am I going to die? Is this like the beginning of a horror movie?
It's not that bad. Hey, y'all come on in and have a seat, and we're going to have a good time. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, casual, say you want to come in, and you're like,
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Head blast.
Do I want to come in? I don't know. Do I want to? If you don't know what I'm talking about, rent a film, find a film from the 80s called Southern Comfort. Mm. If you ever watched Deliverance and Deliverance spooked you out about being in the North Georgia Mountains, Southern Comfort will swear you off the swamp forever.
All right. I'm gonna Google that. Comfort. I'm IMBD that one right now.
Southern Comfort. Yeah, Powers Booth. Ooh. Great film. Scared the living hell out of me. I mean, not bloody, just scary. About a bunch of guys who are National Guard on a weekend, and they have to go do a whatever the National Guard Mark Zeno people do, bivouac or whatever. Pardon me for not knowing. I apologize. I was never in the National Guard. And they had to do the weekend in the swamp. Yeah. So today, Swampers of the Cowboys will have live coverage of that beginning at 12:30 in about an hour from now, and then that'll be followed by the Chiefs and the Bengals in our doubleheader. But we have the Swampers of the Cowboys. The Bucks are on the road at the Lions. The Panthers are at home against Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. A lot of chatter up at Kitty Cat Land about benching Bryce and putting Andy Dalton in. I mean, Dave Canales' debut was... We're frustrated by Raheem Morris' debut. In Carolina, they're aghast. That's a big word for all you Swampers. It means they're mortified. That's also a big word by you. It means they're scared that they're what happened because the kitty cats got clobbered by your Swampers. Colts and Packers in Green Bay. Jets and Titans. Aaron Rodgers, you know, everybody talking about, you know, Kirk Cousins. It wasn't like Aaron Rodgers lit anybody's world up. Still coming off that major injury. 49ers are at the Vikings. How about Jordan? You know, a story that nobody talked about from last week, Jordan Mason, the Georgia Tech, you know, guy. No Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, we got Jordan Mason. We have 147 yards. Seahawks, by the way, credit to the Vikings for winning after J.J. McCarthy went down. Seahawks at the Patriots. How about the Patriots win last week, huh? Drop Mayo trying to go 2-0.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett. And speaking of the Niners, no CMC for at least a month. So.
Yeah, right. Exactly. New York Giants are at the Commanders. The loser of that game is 0-2 and reeling. God bless America. Those teams are bad. Browns and the Jags. Raiders at the Ravens. how about the Browns with that story about Deshaun again this week? Late games today, Rams at the Cards, Steelers are at the Broncos, Bengals at the Chiefs, of course, 90.9 The Game. And then the Sunday night game tonight, the Bears at the Texans. It is Caleb Williams against C.J. Stroud, USC against Ohio State. Let's see how that kind of plays out. All leading us to Monday night football. Our coverage begins at 4 tomorrow, Dukes of Bell 2 to 4, then 4 to 6, Joe Patrick and I on the Wade Ford tailgate show, 6 to 8 for Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson in the network pregame, 8 o'clock West Durham, and Dave Archer on the call from the Lincoln, Philadelphia, Falcons and Eagles on Monday Night Football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, which is your flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons radio network. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Mobile Kia Studios. Oh, that was actually COVID, wasn't it? Northern Kia Studios now. Whew, that kind of ran together, didn't it, Eric? Well, yeah. That's interesting. Because during COVID, because I'm back at the home studio, so I just, it was one of those things where kind of muscle memory in your brain. During COVID, we said, well, we can't say we're in the Kia Studios, so what do we say? And so I said, well, we'll call it the Mobile Kia Studios because we were all at different places. And and then, of course, once I had my, and then the COVID ended, we went back to the studio. And then once, you know, I had my seizure last year, it's been almost a year. It'll be a year of Halloween Day. It was Halloween Day last year. And I realized I couldn't drive anymore and became very limited in driving and things of that nature. And I really couldn't come down to the studio anymore and had to open up my home studio again. I said, well, I can't call it that. So I'll call it the Northern Kia Studio because I'm, you know, north of town. All right. Anyway, nobody cares. I just thought it was interesting. 404-726-0929. If you want to jump into the program, we got three big questions for you. Are you back of the bandwagon with the sort of Braves who've knocked off the, not only won the first two games against the Dodgers, but obliterated them 6-3 and 10-1. It's been such a weird team lately. You know, they had the one game where they hit the four home runs and Money Mike hit a couple and they scored 12 against Washington. And in between, they got like almost no hit twice. It's like, all right, we're going to get almost no hit. Oh, we'll score 12. Almost no hit. And, you know, against, you know, the Reds of all teams in one of them. And then in a makeup game, no less. And then now they turn around with the Dodgers and they start, you know, just wailing, you know, just laying into them. I was like, okay. Hey, listen, if they make the playoffs, it's all good. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, are you back on the bandwagon? Are you feeling pretty good about the Braves? You think the sort of Braves are going to make it? How do you feel about all this? And you can jump in on that. College football. We're talking about your reaction to what happened yesterday. Georgia showing some cracks, but they win ugly. And look, I've mentioned this to you before. Virtually every national champion, you have to go back year by year by year, has either lost a game or has won ugly at some point before winning the national title. And so you just have to go through. You're going to get an ugly. Georgia got an ugly a few years ago against Missouri. They got an ugly at Auburn once. They've had uglies at Kentucky multiple times. And so you just got to survive the uglies. It happens. You have an off day. You're not great, you know, but you still win the game. And that's what Georgia did. They still won the game. I'm watching, and as great as Kentucky is playing, way over its station, way out of its head. Fans are going crazy. And, you know, Georgia's still trailing into the fourth quarter, and I'm still thinking, yeah, Georgia's going to win the game. They're going to find a way to win the game. I was not really overly concerned, even on the last drive. I said, nah, I think Georgia's going to win the game. Georgia State knocks off Vanderbilt and in a thrilling finish at Center Park Stadium. That was my upset special of the day on College Football Game Time, so I was like, hey, I got that one right. And good for Del McGee and Georgia State, who are now 2-1. Georgia Tech waylays VMI. Boy, VMI, the Key Dats are just not very good. You saw that yesterday. So now Georgia Tech's 3-1. The races in these conferences are going to be, you look at every conference, and there are 6 to 7 teams in every conference you could almost see making the championship game. I mean, literally 6 to 7 in every one of the Power Four conferences. What? I mean, you look at the ACC and you see, you know, Clemson. Could Clemson get hot? Sure. You know, could Tech make it? Yeah. Could Louisville? Yes. Boston College? Yes. Miami, of course. Could Florida State? Yeah, I don't think so, but stranger things have happened, right? I mean, it's not like the conference is brutal. I mean, you can kind of roll through it if you get hot. So, maybe. In the SEC, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Texas. Everybody knows about that. Then you got Tennessee, Missouri. You got, you know, a whole host of teams. South Carolina showed some moxie yesterday, got really run over by the referees. Ooh, the people in Columbia, man, did they get smoked by those officials there. LSU did win the game. A&M looked pretty good down in Florida. I know Florida's not that great. I get that. But, you know, A&M's now got a pocket win, and suddenly, you know, their loss was out of conference. So here's A&M. You know, maybe Mike Elko gets them kind of rolling. Oklahoma's looked pretty good this year. There's a lot of teams that can get hot. Ole Miss goes to Wake Forest and runs the Deeks out of my used to do play-by-play in that building, Grove Stadium. It's a nice little stadium. Winston-Salem, nice little. I always liked that stadium. Wake Forest got destroyed, but okay. So it's going to be really an interesting year in college football, and the Big Ten is up for grabs. You know who's in first place in the Big Ten? Eric, do you know who right now is in first place in the Big Ten? I know we just started conference play. You know who's alone in first, kind of in first place?
I'm going to take a guess and say Indiana.
Indiana is in first place.
Because if you're asking that question, that's the best answer to give. Go Hoosiers. Indiana. I know they had a big win last week. What did they do yesterday?
They beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl 42-13.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the score last week. I know you were watching.
I think UCLA is, oh, my God, bad. Oh, my God, are they bad.
And Chip Kelly somewhere smiling.
Yeah, UCLA.
Ooh, got Foster out of town just in time.
You know, Deshaun Foster and Eric Bieniemy have some serious work to do with that program.
And they'll do it. Hopefully they'll get the time to do it, and he'll get his players in, and hopefully they'll have a chance.
I know.
I was listening to you yesterday when you were saying, oh, this is not a great football day unless you're me, because I'm going to watch my favorite team. My wife's going to watch her favorite team, and that's what you did, right?
Well, last night I've got the Indiana game on against UCLA. I got the Nebraska game on. I got Georgia, Kentucky on, and I got the Brayson Dodgers. And I'm going like, okay.
Oh, you had a great night of football, did you? Yeah.
I got devices everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
No, like, oh, look at this! Oh, look at what the Braves are doing. And it was a lot of fun too, watching the Braves just destroy and dismantle the Dodgers here. And I think the Braves are kind of a fun story. You know, if you think about it here, if they don't make the playoffs, I don't think anybody in town. I don't know. Maybe you will be. Maybe you're the guy or the gal that's going to be disappointed that they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, I can understand that, but at the same time, we're all kind of going, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can be disappointed, but you gotta be understanding. Like, yeah, you know, we had a good run, and
well, you can be disappointed. You can't be mad.
Right. Understanding. Yeah, you can't be mad. Like, yeah, this is acceptable for this year with all the things we had to go through.
Well, I don't want to say it's acceptable because it's never acceptable. That gets you into trouble. I know that words mean things to me. So I don't think Snicker or anybody say it's acceptable. It's understandable to some degree, but it's their job to get in. And this is why I want them to get in for two reasons. One, because I just want them to get in. And two, well, maybe third reason. Two, because it would be so much fun to have them in because nobody expects anything, so they could just play really loose. And number three, I want people to get off Brian Snicker's back.
Mm.
And if they make the playoffs, you can call up other shows, you can go online, but you cannot call me. If they make the playoffs this year, you cannot tell me nothing about Brian Snicker. I'm sorry, you just can't.
What you need to say is he did a heck of a job, you know, with this mass unit of baseball players getting them into the playoffs. That's the only thing you need to say about Brian Snicker.
Exactly.
Kudos. Tip of my hat to you
Man took that team. He took a ragtag bunch that didn't deserve to win the World Series to win the World Series. He took a team to the COVID. Was up 3-1 on the Dodgers in that COVID series. Let's not forget that. And then, yes, he had the best team in baseball for a couple of years that flamed out when they ran up against the Phillies, and he has to answer for those. Yes, he does. But if he's able to take this bunch to the playoffs, I don't know what to tell you. Now, there aren't three managers in baseball that could do that. There might not be two. 404-726-0929. We have about another 40 minutes or so to talk before we take you to our live coverage of the NFL today. And the first game up is going to be the Swampers and Cowboys. If you want to jump into the program and talk about the Braves or college football or the Falcons, do so at 404-726-0929. Let's go to Matt. He joins John. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, John? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man.
Hey, good. I got 2 points. One, I'm from Illinois, and I want to shout out to my NIU Huskies taking out Notre Dame last weekend. And then they're going to be giant killers again this coming weekend when they travel to North Carolina State. So let's go Huskies. And then I just sort of wanted to throw out the Braves. Nobody in their right mind, how many times in a baseball year can you really go from, oh, they're going to the World Series, and then have this crazy season where they are basically dismantled from the very beginning and then still scratching and clawing their way to see if they can still make the playoffs. And if they do, you know, like you said, I couldn't agree with you any more than Snicker. He's got to be manager of the year or at least some kind of, you know, accolades for every craziness that took place during the season with starting pitchers going down and still the starting pitchers keeping us in ball games most of the time.
Yeah, no, he's done a phenomenal job, right? You know, they're tied with the Mets. They own the tiebreaker over the Mets, I think, right now. So, and it may come out of that series with the Mets in 9 days when they play the Mets here. So, no, I think Snicker's done a masterful job. I mean, he's gotten you to this point with, you know, and I give it to Alex Anthopoulos, too, because he made some moves, I think a lot of really good moves. I mean, let's not forget that he traded Vaughn Grissom for Chris Sale. Matt, he traded Vaughn Grissom for Chris Sale. And all Chris Sale's going to do is win the Cy Young nearly unanimously.
Oh, he's been a fabulous addition when everybody was poo-pooing that at the very beginning of the year. You got a broken down guy, his arm's shot. He's got no chance of finishing the year, and he's been our most reliable pitcher from the jump this year. Yeah, I think he's had one, maybe two off starts, if you want to call it that, you know, this whole entire season. He's been absolutely fantastic. And if we do make it into the playoffs, I think that we've got three viable starters and our bullpen looks pretty solid going into it. So, you know, sort of very similar to what we went through last year in the playoffs, is just got to make sure that offense turns it on again. And the last couple of days, you know, have looked really good, but baseball's baseball. They go through hot streaks and cold streaks, and you never know. But I like the pitching if we get into a 5-game, 7-game series.
Yeah, no, I like the pitching too. And you look at, you know, the Spencer Schwellenbach stepping up and being, you know, the rookie season that he's had. Or you look at the addition of Soler and what he's meant to this team and the return of Harris and, of course, Ozuna's year this year. But if you lose a Strider and an Acuna and an Albies and a Riley, you're losing an MVP, a Cy Young, and two perennial All-Stars. Most teams never recover from that. They just don't even they turn into the White Sox. You know, I mean, don't recover.
Okay. Well, and the mental capacity or the mental fortitude as a team. When I mean, fine, one guy, two guys. You know, next man up mentality, this and that. But when you're losing all-star after all-star caliber player on your team, you're like, geez, you know.
Yeah, they lost Harris for an extended period of time. They lost Murphy for an extended period of time. Matzik went down for the year before he was traded. I mean, it was just one thing after another. You know, Ozzy went down, came back, then went down again, right? And so, and they were having to bailing wire this thing with Zach Short, Eddie, I can't hit any. Sadly, Rosario, and I mean, they're putting these guys out there, right? You know, going, is there anybody we can get? And they go out and get Whit Merrifield, and you know, I mean, again, some of the additions that Alex Anthopoulos was able to make for this team to fill roles to help them get to this point has been really kind of, you know, you got look, win, lose, make the playoffs, don't make the playoffs. You got to say, you know, you guys gave this one hell a run, and so I hope they do make the playoffs, because I think if they do make the playoffs, to your point. I got one thing, Matt. If I want to ask you, if they make the playoffs, does anybody really want to play them? A team that has nothing to lose.
My short answer to that is yes. I think that most teams would want to play them because you never know what you're going to get with them this year. Granted, they can roll off 5 in a row, 10 in a row, but they can also sink 10 in a row at the same time. Mm-hmm. But. You know, I mean, I honestly, as being a Braves fan through and through, I honestly still do prefer their odds with them going in with, you know, nothing but, you know, a chip and a seat, you know. So they're going to just throw it out there, and I think that their odds are, you know, in their favor.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Matt. 404-726-0929. Top of the hour, taking you to a doubleheader. On Sports Radio 90.9 The Game, Swampers and Cowboys at 1, Bengals and Chiefs in the 4 o'clock window, back-to-back. Of course, our coverage of the Falcons and Eagles tomorrow night begins at 4 o'clock with a Wade Ford tailgate show with Joe Patrick and myself. 6 o'clock network pregame, Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson. 8 o'clock, we will have full coverage of the game, West Durham, Dave Archer from Philadelphia. Falcons will fly out today and head up to Philly, and hopefully they can snag a win. And we can have discussions this week that'll everybody will relax and calm down, and everything will look kind of good here. See what they do for adjustments to see if you can develop some offense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is the game on Monday night critical for the Falcons, or do they just have to play better? Georgia survives. Is it good that they just survived it ugly, or does it give you pause with the schedule that they have coming up that this is going to be a tougher slog than you think? And as we were talking about with the Braves, and do we got playoff baseball ahead? Are you back on the bandwagon on Sports Radio 92 on the game?